I'm sorry, run it by again.
That you would have interesting things to say was the idea.
Interesting things to say.
Okay. You know, most interviews like this would be, you would ask, I'm guessing, you'd say, like, when you were in the legislature, a question might be, what are you most proud of, or is there something special to you?
Exactly.
And if you ask me that, I can give you a couple of small things, and then something I'm proud of that he really did and passed the ball over to him, which is that rainy day fund you ought to talk about.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds great. Okay. Well, we can just
start it
off.
That's at least one topic, you know, you kind of get...
Right.
You're going to cut and paste anyway, right?
Exactly. We'll edit it to make it sound totally different. Just take a little note.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll make it sound good. But, I just have some questions, and then we can sort of do like you said, just sort of build on it and just sort of say whatever you feel. And, I mean, we have 30 minutes to do them or however long y'all...
15 or 20.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably better anyway.
Can't clear my throat in 30 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, perfect. Good. Okay, so you ready to go? Okay, let's just start by having you give us your name and the district you represented and sort of the area that was within that district.
Okay. Stan Schleter, I represented District 54, which was Central Texas, Bell, Lampasas, Mills, Hamilton, and San Saba from 1977 to 1989.
I'm Clint Hackney, and I represented a district in Harris County. District 139 from January of 1981 to January of 1989, all through the 80s. And it was a district in the near, what we call the near northwest part of Houston, pretty close to getting downtown.
Great. So can y'all both give me just a little bit of background and about what brought you to the Texas House and what inspired you to run for office?
Well, I went to Boys State when I was in high school. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. The American Legion has Boys State down in Austin every year, where juniors in high school are invited or picked by a peer group of teachers, and they send you down here, and you divide into cities, and then the cities divide into counties, and the counties divide into districts, and so you get elected to, and I got elected to the Senate, which I didn't ever serve in. I enjoyed the House too much, frankly, but... And plus, Dolph Briscoe, who was governor or became governor, was a close friend of the families, and so we got involved. I got involved in it then, and I liked it a lot. And heard a lot of people complaining about state government, so I said, well, you know, instead of complaining, maybe I'll get involved in it so I can maybe change some of the things that people are complaining about.
And, well, I got interested. I got the political bug when I was 16, and... Representative Schleter here will hit me on the arm if I talk a little too long, because it was a long story. But I grew up in East Texas, and I live five houses down from Charlie Wilson. And Charlie was a state senator when I was growing up. And I just knew him as Mr. Wilson. Didn't even know what state senate was. Mowed his yard when I was 12 and 13, and then went to work at the lumber yard he managed. And I got interested watching the 1968 convention on black and white TV, and my dad got me into the Young Republicans in high school. And then Charlie Wilson found out that I was helping George H.W. Bush against Lloyd Benson, for the U.S. Senate. And Charlie was a Democrat, and as soon as he found that out, from that day on, he kept telling me why I was a Democrat, and I just kind of followed him. He, in college, my sophomore year in college, he called in my dorm, and he said, Clint, he had that deep voice that I don't have, but he said, Clint, I'm going to run for Congress, and I want you to be a sign man. And he gave me three counties to do signs, and I was low-hanging fruit after that. I'd have run for anything. And so I ran it when I was 28 years old, and I got elected.
Great.
Still like it. I'm just playing other roles in the system.
Right, which I'd love to hear about that, too.
Well, I ran statewide and lost in 1988, and so I moved in fairly easily to a government affairs spot and got some clients, and still like being around.
So I'm sure both of you can speak to switching over to the lobbying side, and what does it give you to have been a former member once you switch over?
I think the biggest thing is understanding, you know, that, and sometimes it makes you, or puts you in a position of not being what they would call an outstanding lobbyist, because you look at a member at this time of the session and you can see the tiredness in their eyes. You know they're exhausted. And so you've been there and you just don't push them. And you know, where someone who hadn't been involved just runs up and just starts patting them on the back, saying, you know, no. Reading them the Chamber of Commerce, you know, background stuff. And so in that aspect, it gives you, it maybe hurts you a little bit, but the one thing about members is the current members always have respect for former members. And, you know, you can give them some impartial advice on the rules and other historical things that they don't even talk about anymore, which is very beneficial. I mean, that's where we learn from the old hands, which there were a lot of them around when we were in the house, and they're not around anymore. There's nobody teaching anybody the rules, and the conduct has changed dramatically. It's a lot. I mean, we had fights, we disagreed, and after that everybody went out and had a good time together. This is a lot more visceral and long-lasting than anything I've ever seen, if you want to talk about how the process has changed. And I think that part is not better. I think it's worse.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right on about the Stan is right on with the sort of the social life. They just socialize less, the members do. Stan and I really didn't vote alike very often. But you know, we'd run into each other, go to have meals with each other. And I'm not saying that doesn't mean these folks are staying away from that or they're bad, but the whole atmosphere is different. Some of it I think has to do with the size of the building now, the underground extension. We didn't have that. And so what we have, like we'd have three state reps in one suite.
Or sometimes as many as six.
Yeah. And you got to know people.
You get to know each other. And you also hear about what's going on in the building, because the ladies or the guys working for you in that little small area, they're hearing everything that's going on. So we all shared information. Yeah. And now it's more like Washington.
Yeah. And they don't take, I don't know if you'd cared about this, but they don't take lunch breaks. They eat in their offices. They eat lunch. We would take 12:30. We'd take maybe an hour recess, and we'd go to the Austin Club meet or Chili Parlor and two or three members, and maybe we'd have friends or could be lobbyists or whatever. And they just, that doesn't go on now.
Right, yeah. So let's talk about some of the stuff that y'all are most proud of whenever you were serving. I'm gonna start that off, Mr. Hackney.
Yeah, I wish I had more. Sometimes you start thinking about that and you go, well, what was it really? I have one thing that I'm still proud of. I mean, it was kind of attached to a related thing. They were two different bills, but it's all in a package, an election law. And the one that I wished I hadn't done was move the May primaries back to March. Hmm. We're now, like this last year, we had primaries on March the 1st. Well, I carried that bill, and I was all excited about it when I passed it. And if I had to do over again, I would, instead of going from May to March, I'd go May to July, so we'd have shorter campaign times. Mm-hmm. But the one bill I did really enjoy doing, and I was proud of it, was I carried the law that allows early voting. We were one of the first states to do that. Now, it ended up, it didn't do what I did it for. I did it to encourage more voting, higher turnout. And the numbers show that it did not increase turnout. However, I think it's great. It's a great convenience. You don't have to stand in the longer lines that we used to have to stand in. I think this was my last session. I'm real proud of the fact that I was on a committee that Sleater chaired, and it was an interim study on economic development, and this committee that reported to the legislature with a package of bills to kind of spice up economic development in Texas, and part of that was a rainy day fund, and I bet you could tell more about rainy day fund than anybody in history.
Yeah, the rainy day fund, that was, I'd say that's one of the things I enjoyed the most. It took me three sessions to pass it. It's a constitutional amendment. It has been changed dramatically since I passed it, but it passed in 1987 on the ballot. And the idea, we were in a depression, just like they are in the oil business right now, not quite as bad as it was last year, but money was scarce, and Bob Bullock was, at that point in time, was controller, and he was reducing the revenue estimate like $1 billion a week, and that's back when the budget was like $30 billion. So, you know, it was real money. And in addition to that, we had the school system was in the Supreme Court. The MHMR and one other thing were in our prison system, were in the federal courts. And we knew we were going to lose all of them, which we did. And, you know, it's easy to say we're going to cut, which sometimes is the favorite thing, you know, to do. But I passed three tax bills in three sessions.
And still got elected?
I still have the record. And still got elected in a very rural area, because I went out to every town in my district and had a town hall meeting, and they turned out, and I showed them the board, you know, here's what we're gonna have to possibly cut, and here's what I can do on the tax side. And it was different then, because all of the businesses, they were either based in Houston or Dallas, the large businesses, and the business community would come together and say, we want to support higher education, we want to support public education, we know we need to build prisons, and they get behind the legislature and they support the tax bills, and they actually would come into my office when I was chairman of Ways and Means and volunteer themselves to pay more taxes, because those were the things that they felt were important. And so, no, the only person that ever got beat on the tax bill was Mark White.
For governor.
He gave us, and he's a friend of ours, and he got up and he gave a speech to the House, and he said, teachers need a pay raise, and if they want to know who passed the tax bill, blame me. Well, they did. And he regrets having ever said that.
Yeah.
But the rainy day fund was set up, and it's for the purposes now, and I tell the members when they say, well, what I read all these articles, this is what it was for. And I said, no, there's only one person knows what it was for, and that's me, because the senator's dead, on the guy who was carried it in the Senate. But the legislature, through their prerogative, have the right to do anything with it they want to. But for highways, no. That's what the gasoline tax was for. They borrowed $17 billion to build highways. I thought that was crazy. But that was so they could say they didn't pass a tax bill. And they use it for water bonds. It wasn't for that either. But anyway, I really enjoyed that. It took three sessions, and it was well worth it.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, I just have one final question, and that is, if you could give advice to a freshman member on how to be successful in the House, what would you say?
Well, you got to be honest. It doesn't take but I think one lie, and you've kind of lost credibility forever.
From where we are now, we hear a lot of those. But
yeah, you do. You have to maintain that credibility, and that's the way you do it: is don't lie to fellow members or anybody else. You gotta work harder. It's easy to skip out. Except for record votes. You could stay off the floor and come in 2 hours late, and you can do. You're gonna have to do that sometime, but anyway, hard work's a big part of the deal.
Yeah, I'd say integrity, hard work, learn the rules. and focus on one area of expertise. I mean, even when we were there, I mean, the areas of, you know, you go from environmental to health to taxes, everything is so complicated now. If you can just focus on something that you enjoy and become the go-to guy, the person that everybody wants to talk to if that subject's coming to the floor, somebody that can give good advice. Those are the three things I would say would be the best thing to do.
Now, I can tell you a Clint Hackney Stan Slater story.
Yes, I'd
it's
love
pretty,
it.
It's pretty short.
I'd
pretty
love
short.
It.
Not, see, the, we'll see I, no.
You,
he'll be okay with it because he won. So, so I had a bill. I think it was the Lemon Law bill. I'm not sure if it was that. But I had a bill I was trying to pass, and Tom, this was 1983, and Tom DeLay was still here in the State House. And Tom DeLay and I were on a transportation committee together. He was a Republican from the suburbs, very conservative, and I was an urban liberal. And we just never voted together. In fact, we got up and debated against each other most of the time. And I'm trying to pass this bill, and turns out Tom was on my side. He was on my side, and he got up to back mic and started asking favorable questions. And we were going to pass this thing. And Slater didn't like the bill, and so Slater, as soon as I gave up the mic, Stan walks up to speak in opposition, and his argument was, members, if Clint Hackney and Tom DeLay agree on a piece of legislation, it's got to be bad. And then he moved the table, and he won. Took me out.
I'd forgotten that.
That's great.
Thank you for your time.
Well, thank y'all so much
thank
for
you.
Your time.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.